Okay, today is the 19th day of March 2006. It is the third Sunday in Lent.
We'll start out with commenting on the epistle here with the Ephesians. There's a couple of points that, when you're reading this, that came to my mind that refutes the Protestants' faith alone without deeds, right? Well, let's take a look at who St. Paul's talking to here. He's talking to Catholics. He's addressing this to Ephesians. And he's telling them to beware. He says, you were heretofore darkness, now children of the light, therefore walk as children of the light. So he's making one point, first of all, that before you became baptized, you were a child of the darkness. You were a child of the devil. Like our Lord said in Matthew 13:38, he says, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the cockle are the children of the wicked one. So he's talking about two kingdoms, which we're going to get into later in the gospel reading here, about the two kingdoms. You're either going to serve the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of the Catholic Church on earth, or you're going to serve the kingdom of Satan. And those are the only really two choices that you have. And he's talking to these converted Ephesians that are already baptized. They're already inside the church. And he's telling them to be careful. Walk as children of light, you know. And he's telling them that if you're a fornicator, if you're unclean, or if you're covetous, or you're a servant of idols, or any of these things that you do, you will not possess the kingdom of God. Okay, so that totally... I was thinking this the other day about every time I'm reading, even this morning, I got another faith in deeds thing. Where our Lord said, he who wants to enter into eternal life must obey the commandments. Because I forget the exact verse, I was reading it this morning in my daily reading. And some, Lord, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus says, you must keep the commandments. That's what Jesus says, you must keep the commandments. Now, that refutes faith alone. He didn't say you must just believe in me, but you don't got to keep the commandments. You got to believe in me, and you got to keep the commandments. And proof that you really do believe in me, and you really are faithful to me, is that you do keep the commandments. So, as a Catholic, throughout the scriptures, we have literally, I'd say, thousands of verses that prove you need faith in deeds. As we always continually say, there's no excuse for any Protestant to stay where he is fully, totally culpable, and blinded to the obvious contradictions in his own Bible, even. So, who's St. Paul saying? You Ephesians, you Catholics. You go out and fornicate, you're going to hell, he's saying. Well, that refutes Luther right there. St. Paul should have never said that. He should have said, well, and think, what's the difference? If St. Paul came out and said, well, as long as you believe in Jesus, you're saved, you could be a fornicator, you could be a railer, a drunkard, an extortioner, you can steal, you can lie, you can cheat, you can break all God's commandments, and you will get, that's not what he says here. He says clearly, he says, no, you innocent understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous person hath inheritance with the kingdom of God and of Christ. Let no man deceive you by vain words. Let no man deceive you, Catholics, that if you fornicate and you don't confess your sin and amend your life and get rid of the fornication, you are going to hell. Now, what would have been the purpose? Think about the opposite with this with Luther. That would be like, say, Paul saying, he gets on saying this, no fornicator, no drunkard, no railer. He says, who is a non-Catholic? If you're a fornicator and you're not, and you don't believe in Jesus, you go to hell. So all the pagans that fornicate go to hell. Well, they go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus also. They go to hell. That's the first reason they're going to hell, because they don't have the faith. The second reason, yes, is because they commit those sins. So in other words, you're telling me that the commandments and all these other sins only apply to the pagans? It doesn't apply to the... It's not even logical with the Protestants who are believing in this. But God's... I mean, St. Paul here is strictly invoking them and constantly. What's another one I was reading on St. Paul? I think I'm in the Corinthians, or I forget which verses I'm on now, or Thessalonians. And he didn't go there yet, and he was worried, and he's talking to St. Timothy, and he sent Timothy to check on him. Because he says, I got reports back, I'm worried about you, I don't know if you're really doing that good. I have doubts, and I don't want to say nothing until I know, so I sent Timothy, my trusted disciple, to check on you. And he came back and reported to me and said, indeed, you were doing very well. You are upholding the faith, you are living a godly life, and you are showing yourself to be good Catholics, and I am so glad and happy. So that has to do, again, with us being vigilant and checking our brothers. What are you doing? Is everything okay up there? Are you living a Catholic life? I want to know. This is the idea of our obligation to go in there and admonish one another if they're not doing correctly and make judgments regarding the Catholic faith and telling people, what are you doing? What do you believe in? And anybody doesn't want to be admonished or anybody doesn't like an inquisition from us, get out of here quick. Just turn the door, turn your tail and get out. We don't want nothing to do with you. Because that doesn't even apply in the pagan society when you work for somebody. Even the stupidest, lousiest manager of a company is going to give orders to somebody and make inquisitions. Right. Are you working? Did you do your job? Did you put the ketchup on the right shelf or did you put it on the mustard? Or did you mix it up? I mean, everybody makes inquisitions. That's carnal things. How much more should we make inquisitions about things that are faith?
Right.
We heard that you're doing some dancing up there that's dirty dancing, evil dancing. I want to go up and check. Is it true? Let's find out if it's true. Yes, it is. You're an abomination. Stop it right now, and no one's going to communicate with you no more. And we're going to tell everybody. You see? So this is that's the stuff, because since non-judgmentalism crept in, nobody's allowed to judge anybody and tell them they're guilty of any sin. Which, so, but here clearly, just what came out to me when we were reading this right now is St. Paul's talking to Catholics who are already converted and saying, be careful, if you're a fornicator, if you're a drunkard, if you're a reeler, if you're a stealer, if you're a liar and a cheater, and if you envy, and if you have hate in your heart for somebody, which is a sin against the fifth commandment, more than simple, you're going to go to hell, he's saying. Which refutes Luther and the Protestants consistently. You know, that one verse that Bruce got and Laura got, they both had great verses. The one was when people don't want to obey God's commandments, and because they are full of lust and is obstinate, they're going to make excuses to depart from you. And that's what Luther did, basically. He was full of lust. He didn't like the yoke of God because he fell under the yoke of Satan and sin. So he started to make up his own theology so he can get to heaven while he can continue to sin. In other words, this is the man who has a mind to depart from you already starts making excuses against you. So he can start coming up with some theological or dogmatic reasons of his own dogmas, to refute the church dogmas of the church and to put the blame on God instead of himself. And this is what Luther basically did, you know, and he threw the Ten Commandments right out the window. You know, and what kind of faith is it that you can say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't obey his commandments? What kind of faith is that? That's like saying, I obey my father because I'm supposed to. Then your father tells you to do A, B, C, and D, and you don't do it. You don't obey your father. You say you respect your father. You don't respect your father. You say you love your father. You don't love your father. And so every Protestant is rotten to the core until he converts and comes into the Catholic Church. And that's why they're formal heretics. Every stinking one of them is a formal heretic. Because any false religion in the world has obvious falsehoods that men can detect by the law upon their heart and God's grace. Because God wills for them to see it. God doesn't want them to stay in error. So he enlightens them to see, look at that stupid thing, this Hindu guy. He's teaching you come back as a cow. How is that a reward? You're better than the cow. You want to come back as a cow? Lord, you may be... No, thank you. I don't want to come... Hindu wants to come back as a cow, you stupid jackass. You want to come back as a cow? What? It's stupid. Every religion, though, has these things. That's an obvious example. But there's a lot of... Reincarnation's stupid. Doesn't even make logical sense. Take for instance, people believe like Shirley MacLaine or whatever, they believe in reincarnation. And it says, oh, before this I was like, she said something like she was a stable boy in the 16th century and then she was this in the 15th. I says, do you have any real recollection of all these people? Like, who were you just before in the last century? Well, I don't know that yet. Well, then that person's literally basically dead in all first sense of purposes. So that means when you die, whoever you come back, it's not even going to remember who you were. I mean, this is stupid. It's obliteration. Yeah. It's obliteration of all identity. So at the end of the line, everybody, whoever you are, you're never going to remember. It's a total obliteration. It's illogical. You can go on and on about every false religion and pull out all the obvious falsehoods. And that's why anybody who adheres to any false religion is 100% guilty for not rejecting these falsehoods. That's when we watch the movie Abraham. And we read the story because the movie is exactly identical to the Bible, these great movies. What did he do? He didn't even know about the true God yet. He was worshiping idols like his fathers were. He didn't know about the true God yet because his whole camp worshipped idols. There was nobody who knew the true God in his whole family. And all of a sudden, you see it. The movie portrays it real well. He says, I don't believe in these things. I don't get nothing from this. And his father goes, you don't get nothing from these? He goes, I don't. I try to reach them, I get nothing. And then he's putting two and two together. So how could these pieces of wood that you got to put up and be God? And then when he goes in here and finally rejects his father's idol, smashes them, and says they're all false, then the true God comes in and enlightens them. So this is the idea where falsehoods are found in all religions. The Lutheran, what he proposed, is absolutely an abomination. It's an absolute prescription for chaos. And this is what's fallen into the fallen away Catholics that swallowed this, the Vitoers and all of them. Even the traditionalists all believe in this. If they're really living like, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. You can't even tell anybody today they're going to hell as a result of all this. In spite of all these admonitions to St. Paul and our Lord Jesus Christ about most people going to hell, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, I think he says, do not err. Know you not that neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor liars, nor thieves, nor the effeminate, nor the liars of mankind, nor railers, nor drunkards, nor extortioners shall possess the kingdom of God. And we Apocalypse 21:8 gets into the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the incredulous, the idolaters, and the liars shall have their portion in a pool of burning with brimstone and fire. And it's throughout the whole scriptures. Christ saying, "What should I do, Lord Jesus Christ, that to gain eternal salvation? Keep the commandments." He didn't say just believe in me. Okay, that's the first. It has to do with the first part. You have to first believe in Jesus, but then you got to keep his commandments still. Now, in here too, the gospel reading, and we were talking about this yesterday even, it's what I wrote about the Lee Stauffer. All these people that, this guy Mike Weber, who were praying for his conversion, he seems to be of good will. I hope he is. Mike Weber, I meant. Mike Weber, isn't it? Is it Mark?
Yes,
Mark Weber for the IHR.
Yeah.
The thing these guys, as we said the other day, are all missing is they don't understand that the ultimate battle is Satan. It's not just the Jew. If you don't, it's not just the Mason. If you don't bring the combat into the spiritual realm, you are ignoring the general, the king, the top guy, the main plan, which is Satan. And clearly in the gospel today, we're trying to get this guy to understand. He's trying to leave religion out of it. And we're trying to tell him, as long as you keep believing, that's what Hitler did. He left religion out of it. He was good in a lot of other things, but he left religion out of it. And he fell into his other things. But they don't understand the root of the problem really is religious. And at the root of all the enemies is Satan, who's instigating, guiding, giving power to these people. And unless you strike Satan at his root, you are never going to conquer the problem. You yourself are never going to escape his kingdom. So what's our Lord talking about today? He's talking about the two kingdoms right here. He says, Satan's kingdom is not divided, it is united. It's damned, he's in hell, he's a doomed soul, but he is the kingdom of hell. He is the kingdom of the damned souls. He is the kingdom of all the reprobates. He is the kingdom of all the liars. He is the king of all the rebels, but he is the king. He is the king. And he has a hierarchy, and he runs it like a hierarchy. Everybody can see it on earth. And they even mention when these enemies are plotting that it's an amazing consistency in their plans. Mm-hmm. And that it's being carried out. And some of these guys get in intimations that religion is involved because it's just mysterious, this diabolical power that Jews have. It's not mysterious to us. I mean, because God told us what it is. It's the kingdom of Satan. And the only way you're going to deliver yourself from that is to come into the kingdom of God, which is his Catholic Church. And through exorcism and prayers, you put that devil at bay so you yourself can see clearly, save your own soul, and then go out and help to save other souls. You want to go into a hotbed of Jews and you want to clean out an infestation in which they have a stronghold by the devil? How are you going to do it without being Catholic? Totally. How are you going to really do it without being Catholic? Now, God may give you a temporary victory over the Jew because he can use non-Catholics even to do good things, but you're not going to have the ultimate victory. You're not realizing, like, if Nebuchadnezzar never converted, which he did, thank God he did, of course. We want everybody to convert. Of course, we wish Pharaoh converted. But Pharaoh never converted. Nebuchadnezzar did convert. But if Nebuchadnezzar never converted, that's because woe to him. But God was using Nebuchadnezzar onto that time to do a lot of good deeds, you know. But ultimately, he would never have the ultimate victory if he didn't come into the true church. That's what we're trying to tell these guys, Mark Weber and all these other guys, and David Irving. Bring religion into it. Start thinking religion. Start thinking about the two kingdoms. There's two kingdoms, really are two kingdoms, and that's all there really is. You don't have any other choice, as I wrote against with Lee Stauffer. All these other people that worship false gods believe they're the same kingdom. They don't know, but they do, and Satan double crosses them. But that's not the way God deals, because God doesn't lie. He doesn't hide. He doesn't deceive. These masons hide in secret, do their dirty deeds because they lie, they cheat, and steal. God's kingdom is wide out in the open for everybody. He's got nothing to hide. He shows you what his plans are. It is one united in mind and fault. He doesn't pretend to be one thing and pretend to be another thing. Satan does that. So some people might say it seems to be there's multiple kingdoms, Richard, because there's multiple religions. Yeah, but all those other religions are still guided by one power, Satan. And he lies to anybody, no matter how he has to deceive them, but he ultimately does control them. And that's why if you don't attack any of the problems and situations from the religious basis and get on the right side of God, which is the Catholic Church, you're ultimately not going to win any victories. You're not going to win victories anywhere. This is what people have to realize. Our Lord's talking about it in here. He's saying there's only two kingdoms. The other thing I was thinking about in here, which is very interesting, what our Lord talks about. This is almost, again, we know like when the Pharisee, under the old covenant, the forgiveness of sins was, you had your sins forgiven by going to the high priests in the temple, and you would confess. They had confession. You'd have to confess your sin. You know, I lied to my parents and whatever your sin is. And he said, okay, now take a he goat and bring it in here and we'll offer it up as an expiation for your sin and then we get a penance. Okay, so when Jesus came along and started to forgive people's sins without needing them to have to do that, and he's doing it directly, they don't got to go to the high priest. It really is like usurping their authority.
Yeah.
And Christ really wasn't usurping your authority. He was replacing it. And so he's getting them used to the fact that there's a new show in town here. It's going to be the new covenant. I'm the one who's going to fulfill the old. You know, who's going to institute, I'm going to be the boss and the king, and I'm now replacing your Old Testament rituals. That's the one they came up and he says, go, your sins are forgiven. How could you forgive sins? You know, it's not that they didn't believe sins could not be forgiven, and they said only God can forgive sins also. And he also was intimidating that he was God, because there's two things happening here. Only God really can make a new law as to how sins are forgiven. So if Jesus wasn't God, or at least authorized by God as a Messiah to do this, he would have been committed, like a Moses, he would have been committing a grievous sin by saying, your sins are forgiven, because that's not what the old law was. So they're already getting inclinations that Jesus is coming here to replace the old law. And by the miracle that he showed, they said, wow, the person rose up today. He is forgiving sins. Who is this guy? You know, and then as he goes along, he's telling, I am fulfilling the old covenant. And I'm going to replace it with a new covenant. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.